بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Allah, today we will continue to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the title of the class is The Greatest Migration in History. Actually, it was after the endorsement of the second Aqaba pledge that the establishment of a small Muslim state in Yathrib, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave his leave for the Muslims to migrate to Yathrib. After his companions left to Yathrib, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Mecca waiting for permission from Allah to leave the city. Actually, Abu Bakr, his closest companion, and Ali, his sincere nephew, they stayed with him. Regarding Abu Bakr, he kept on asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to allow him to go to Yathrib, but the Prophet kept sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept saying, don't be in a hurry, Abu Bakr. It might be that Allah will give you a traveling companion. Actually, there were also some Muslims whom Quraysh had not allowed him to leave. The leaders of Quraysh assembled in the house of their ancestor Qusay, as it was the custom when they had an important decision to make. On that day, the decision was that they had to find a way of getting rid of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he was able to join his companions in Yathrib. They want to get rid of him before his escape to Yathrib. Each leader put forward ideas about what should be done, but none of them could agree about which was the best, until Abu Jahl, the Prophet's uncle who was always against Islam, told them his plan. The plan was that each clan should provide a strong young man who would be given a sword. All these young men would then wait outside the Prophet's house and together attack the Prophet as he came out of his house. In this way, why they chose that plan and agreed for it? Because through that plan, they would get rid of him, but as blame for killing him would fall on all the clans. The Prophet's family would not be able to seek revenge, because regarding these tribes, it was always the revenge. If you kill one from our tribe, we must kill one from your tribe. But the plan was that from all the tribes, from every tribe they will choose a man, and all of them they will attack the Prophet once. So it will be very difficult to know who is the killer. And through this way, none can be blamed for the killing, and there will be no way for the revenge.
The tribes was like gangs. The tribes was like gangs.
Yes, at that time. Let us read about this event from the Holy Quran, from Surah number 8, verse number 30. Allah mentioned what happened and what plan was actually agreed for against the Prophet in Surah number 8, verse number 33.
الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ يمكر بك الذين كفروا ليثبتوك أو يقتلوك أو يخرجوك ويمكرون ويمكر الله والله خير الماكرين. وإذا تتلى عليهم آياتنا قالوا قد سمعنا لو نشاء لقلنا مثل هذا إن هذا إلا أساطير الأولين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And remember, O Muhammad, when those who disbelieve plotted against you to restrain you or kill you or evict you from Mecca, but they plan and Allah plans, and Allah is best at planners. And when our verses are recited to them, they say, we have heard. If we killed, we could say something like this. This is not the legends of the former peoples.
So actually, sister, this is what was the plan or the plot against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But those disbelievers, they don't know that as they planned, Allah is the best of the planners. And Allah planned that Prophet Muhammad will be saved, okay, inshallah. To continue learning about that plan, before the nightfall on which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to be killed, the archangel Jibril came to the Prophet and said, don't sleep tonight in your own bed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he understood what was going to happen. He already knew that they want to kill him. So he told Ali to lie in his bed and wrap himself in the blanket that the Prophet normally used. Okay, so that they can be, sheeted that this is the Prophet, because it is the same blanket and someone is inside the blanket. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he promised Ali that no harm would befall him. They will not be able to kill him. With the coming of the darkness, the young men of Quraysh had gathered outside the Prophet's house, waiting for him to come out. After he had made sure that Ali was safe, he was sure that Ali will not be killed, Prophet Muhammad left the house. At that very moment, Ali, Allah, took away the sight of the people whom they were outside so that they couldn't see the Prophet, who took a handful of dust, sprinkled it on their heads, and recited the following verses of the Holy Quran. We will recite now from Surah Yasin, from 1 to 9, how Allah made it for those disbelievers not to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he is leaving the house, because we must believe all the time that Allah is the best of the planners, and only the plan of Allah will be the plan to take action. We will recite now from Surah Yasin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes. Surah Yasin, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is Surah number 36. Surah number 36, we will recite from 1 to 9. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, page 628. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Yasin, والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ياسين, by the wise Quran. Indeed, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, are among the messengers on the straight path. This is a revelation of the Exalted and Might, the Merciful, that you may warn a people whose forefathers are not warned, so they are unaware. Already the word has come into effect upon most of them, so they do not believe. Indeed, we have put shackles on their neck, and they are to their chin, so they are with head keep aloof. And we have put before them a barrier, and behind them a barrier, and covered them, so they do not see.
So actually, sister Yasin, this is, it means, it has a different meaning in the tafsir, different tafsir or meaning of the Holy Quran, but mostly it is, O you humankind. Okay, this is Yasin, human being, Yasin. You know, al-insan is human being. Okay, and Allah is swearing by the Holy Quran that Prophet Muhammad indeed is one from is from among the messengers on a straight path, and the Quran, the revelation, is a revelation from Allah, the Exalted, the Most Merciful. Allah is sending the Quran to warn the people whose forefathers were not warned. Okay, but Allah is clarifying that it has to come in effect that those people will not believe. Okay, Allah is clarifying to Prophet Muhammad not to be upset with the disbelievers in Mecca, because they will not believe according to the rule of Allah. And in verse number 9, Allah is clarifying exactly what happened when Prophet Muhammad was leaving his house. Allah have put before them a barrier and behind them a barrier, and covered them so they don't see. Okay, so when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he took the handful of dust and sprinkled it on their heads, they were blind, and he left at that second. Okay, and you know, sisters, this is the lessons which we learn from the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah plans something, it will be done. It will be in action. Okay, why? When? What are the reasons? On what? This is none of our business. Okay, just put your trust in Allah and call on Him and ask Him to for whatever you are looking for. And when Allah will plan for that issue to be done, it will be done without any reason. Okay? Now Prophet Muhammad is leaving his house while a group of men are around the house or in front of the door waiting for him to come out. He came out and they didn't see him. How? Okay, this is how Allah, when He plans for something to be done, it will be done. So He left them while they were still standing the whole night waiting for Him to come out. So they were very angry. Okay? And in the morning they saw Ali, okay, coming out of the house instead of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They realized that their plan had failed completely. They cannot get him, they cannot keep him in Mecca, and he already left. In the meantime, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to Abu Bakr's house, his closest companion, and told him, Allah has told me that now it is the time for us to leave Mecca. Okay, so Abu Bakr asked, together? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, together. Abu Bakr wept for joy, because now he knew that the traveling companion he had been promised was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, Abu Bakr said, O Messenger of Allah, these are the two camels which I have kept ready for this. And so the two of them left for a cave in a mountain in the south of Mecca called the Cave of Thawr, where they intended to hide from the people of Mecca. The plan was that, you know, they are sure that the people of Mecca will follow them in all the directions and the ways to Yathrib. So they plan to hide for 3 days in a cave until the people of Mecca will lose the hope that they can find them, and then they will try any side way to reach Yathrib. So they decided to hide in the cave in Thawr, in a mountain in the south of Mecca for three days. And when they were out of the city, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked back and said, of Allah's earth you are. He is sending a message to Mecca. He is saying to Mecca, of Allah's earth, you are the dearest place to Allah and to me. And if my people hadn't driven me out, I would never have left you. So this is the proof that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved Mecca, okay, from the depths of his heart. Mecca is the dearest place to Allah because of the Kaaba, because the house of Allah is there. Okay, but because his people, they driven him out, they had driven him out. So if they will not push him, okay, to leave, okay, he would never have left Mecca. This is the proof how he loved that place. But this is also another lesson that for the sake of Allah, sometimes you have to, you know, forget about things which you like, because Allah is your priority. He loved Allah and he loved the mission of Islam more than his love to the land of Mecca. So he left it for the sake of Allah. When Quraysh found out that the Prophet and his companion had gone, they set out after them searching in every direction. And again, sister, this is the proof how they were planning to kill him by any means, or to get rid of him by any means. Now he left their land, but still they are after him in every direction. Okay? 3 days later, they finally reached the cave where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr were hiding. They reached the cave. Yes, because they searched in every place. But a strange and wonderful thing had happened. Now you will know about how Allah is planning, you see, subhanAllah, our life. This is, you know, the lesson of this, you know, migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a very important lesson for every believer to feel, you know, the power of Allah and the mercy of Allah and the plans of Allah, so that you feel that Allah is the Almighty. Okay? What happened? A spider had woven its web right across the entrance to the cave. You see, after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr entered, okay, Allah sends the spider, okay, a spider which had woven its web right across the entrance. And for a web of the spider to be there complete, it takes years. So this means that
like no one's there.
Yes, nobody's there. How come, you know, for the spider to have this web to be complete? Okay, this means that nobody's there. Okay, also a dove was nesting with her mate nearby. Okay, so this means also that, you know, if anyone will enter the place, they will fly.
Yeah.
But if they are nesting, okay, this means that, you know, everything is calm, nobody's there, no one entered the cave. As the Meccans stood in front of the cave with only the spider web separating them from the fugitives, Prophet Muhammad and Abu Bakr, okay, Abu Bakr began to fear for safety of the Prophet. Okay, because Abu Bakr, he saw their feet down. Okay, so he was so afraid, not for himself, for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he whispered to the Prophet that the Meccans are very close, and if one of them turns, we will be seen. He said to the Prophet, if any of them looks down at their feet, they will see us. You see, subhanallah. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comforted him, and he said, what do you think of two people who have Allah with them as their third? You know, we are not alone. You know, this is the most important facts which touches the heart of every believer. Okay? So long you are a believer in the oneness of Allah, so long you are trying your best for the sake of Allah, you are never alone. Allah is with you. They were two, and the third was Allah. Also, this fact was mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah number 9, verse number 40. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If you do not aid him, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah has already aided him when those who disbelieved had driven him out of Mecca as one of two, when they were in the cave, and he, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, said to his companion, do not grieve, indeed Allah is with us. And Allah sent down His tranquility upon him and supported him with soldiers, angels. You did not see in they the word of those who disbelieve the lowest, while the word of Allah is that is the highest. And Allah is exalted in might and wise.
So actually, sister, this is the story of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr in the cave, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr, "Do not grieve, indeed Allah is with us." And Allah is clarifying that He sent down His tranquility upon him and supported him with the soldiers. These are the angels, and also these are the spiders and the doves. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, after a few moments, the search party decided that no one could have entered the cave recently, or the spider's web would not have been complete, and the dove would not have nested there. And so, they left without searching inside. Subhanallah. 3 days later, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr thought it is safe to leave the cave because now they left already. And so, Abu Bakr's son had arranged for 3 camels and a guide to help them continue their journey to Yathrib. Amir, the son of Abu Bakr, would ride behind his father and the Prophet. Meanwhile, the leaders of Quraysh returned to Mecca and offered a reward of 100 camels to whoever captured the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Still they are after him. Okay. Among those who went in search of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man called Suraqa, who knows the desert and its ways very well. So he was the only one to catch up with the Prophet. But whenever he came close, his horse would suddenly sink up to its knees in the sand. Subhanallah, you see how it was not an easy trip at all, subhanallah. When this had happened for 3 times, that man understood that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was protected by a power stronger than anything he had known. And he went back to Mecca, and on arriving there, he warned everyone against continuing the search, relating what had happened to him. So he saved the Prophet from other Meccans who had planned to follow him. Okay, he said to everyone, "Forget about it, we will not be able to catch him, as it happened to me that, you know, my horse was all the time, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, sinking up to its knees in the sand." Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So actually the Prophet's journey from Mecca is called Hijra. Just to know this Arabic word, Hijra, or there are sisters whom their name is Hajar. Okay, Arabic sisters, they have the name of Hajar, or Muslim sisters. Hajar is from migration. Okay, and it is related to the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is called the Hijra. If you know how to write Arabic, it is he, jim. I can write it for you. It is he.
Like the strong he or the soft one?
Ha.
Ha. Is that the strong
one? No, this the is the one. The soft one.
Okay. Ha. This one? Ha. Like this?
This one, okay. Yes. Ha, jim. Jim.
Oh, like this.
Yes.
Like that.
Then Ra. And He again. Like this one again. Okay. Hijra. Yes. Okay. This is Hijra. Okay? So this is the Hijra. It was the first step towards the spread of Islam throughout the entire world. And Muslims begin their calendar from the year of Hijra. Okay.
So they went from Mecca to where?
To Yathrib.
Yathrib.
Yes, Yathrib will be called Al-Madinah, because it will be Al-Madinah, the city. It is the city of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Its name will be changed next class, inshallah. Okay, so actually, sisters, we will stop here to learn about the lessons from from the Hijrah, migration from Mecca to Yathrib. This is the greatest migration in history, because through this migration, Islam was saved. The mission of Islam was saved. Accordingly, it is the greatest migration in history. Actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this migration is a historical milestone and a turning point for Islam and Muslims, in that it was chosen to make the beginning of the Islamic calendar. Now we are in 1439, okay? And this is actually, we started 1439 from the day of the Hijrah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the year of the Hijrah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Arhamakumullah. So with the beginning of each Islamic year, we must remember the story of the migration of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion, which they undertook over 1,439 years ago. Okay? So let me correct, actually, I'm sorry, it is this year is 1,435. Not 1,439. Nine. I'm sorry. I meant 1,435. So the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took place, or he it was 1,435 years ago. Okay. Now, inshallah, we will learn some lessons from that great event. Number one, sacrifice. The most important lesson regarding the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the importance of sacrifice in everything that is dear and beloved to us for the sake of maintaining our beliefs and the freedom to practice our beliefs. Okay? When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early Muslims left Mecca, there was nothing in the world dearer to them than the city of Mecca, the city which is the place of their birth, the source of their culture, social status, family and wealth. The pain of migration over 1,435 years ago to a new land is very difficult, okay, for the modern mind to grasp, for the modern mind, okay? But if we reflect on the very difficult circumstances of the migration of those early Muslims, okay, in the pre-modern era, we can realize that they loved Allah and Allah was far dearer to their hearts than Mecca or their families or their wealth. Again, sisters, if we try to think it over, okay, how those poor Muslim migrated from Mecca to Yathrib. It was from a city to another city in the desert, very far, and actually they don't have anything with them. They were escaping, mostly at night, you know. So they were not well prepared, either psychologically or to have materials which they need. They just escaped, you know, with their whatever they have on them, okay, for the sake of Allah. So to have a long trip in the desert, having nothing with you, is basically is very difficult psychologically to think it over, okay, how I will wake up in the morning and I will open the door of my house and I will start walking in the desert, escaping, having nothing. And at the same time, they left behind them.
There's no trees.
Yes, nothing. No trees, no water, nothing. And also they left their memories, their families, whatever they own. They left everything as if, you know, you tell to your past, I don't know you anymore, and I am moving to a future which I don't know anything about it. Okay, they are not going to a planned place where they knew that they have a job, they will buy a car, they will have a house, someone is waiting for them, they prepared everything in the new land. No, they don't know anyone. they are just escaping for the sake of Allah. So if you try to think it over, it is very difficult from all the aspects. But because they love Allah more than any other thing, they sacrificed everything for the sake of Allah. And actually, this is the proof that they loved Allah more than their families or their wealth. And for the sake of Allah, they left everything behind them. They sacrificed everything. And also, sisters, we must focus on the sacrifice of Ali, who slept in the bed of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, and who exposed himself to a possibility that they will revenge from him. Okay, they will revenge from Ali. If they will not find the Prophet, they will kill Ali. Okay, but Ali, okay, sacrificed himself for the sake of Allah and for the sake of the mission of Islam. Okay, and actually, any person or any one of us will ask a question, why they were doing all of this? How come, you know, they have this, you know, ability to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah? The answer, sisters, yes, yes, this is the answer, yes. The power of faith in their heart, okay? The power of faith in their heart is the source of the strength to achieve what we may think beyond human being capacity. Okay, actually what they did at that time is beyond human being capacity. But they did it because of the power of the faith in their hearts. Okay, all their hearts is full of faith. Okay, this is what is occupying their hearts, occupying their minds. So they moved by the power of their faith for the sake of Allah, leaving everything behind them. This is the lesson number one, which we learn from the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is answering the question, why Muslims now are very weak and they don't have any good position, you know, regarding the nations. Okay, why Muslims are not on the top of the nations? Because of the weakness of the faith in their heart. It is the same element. When they have strong faith, when they have a strong faith, they will be the best people. When they have weak faith, they will be the worst people. Alaykum. The second lesson which learned from the Hijra of Prophet Muhammad is setting priorities straight. Okay, the Hijra teaches us that when there is a conflict between worldly interest and our faith, okay, we must choose what will make us closer to Allah. We must choose our faith. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a servant of Allah does not abandon a matter only for the sake of Allah, except that Allah replaced it with what is better for him in his religion and in his worldly life. What is the meaning of this hadith?
Can you repeat that again, please?
Yes. I will repeat the hadith again. Okay. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a servant of Allah does not abandon a matter. Abandon a matter only for the sake of Allah, except that Allah replaced it with what is better. Replaced it with what is better. With what is better for him in his religion and in his worldly life. The meaning of this, sister. The meaning of this, sister, is that when you have your faith as your priority, and for the sake of yourself, for the sake of your faith, you may lose any worldly issue, Allah will replace you. Okay, for the sake of your faith, when you choose your faith as your priority, Allah will replace you for anything which you sacrifice regarding the material issues. Allah will replace you with something which is better for you in your religion and in your worldly life. What is the meaning of this? For example, if you can work for 1 hour from 12 to 1 during the class, okay, you can work and you can earn, for example, $15 or $20 to work from 12 to 1 o'clock at the time of the class. But you choose to attend the class to learn the Holy Quran and to become closer to Allah, and through this you will lose the $20. Allah the Almighty will reward you for attending the class and learning the Quran, a great reward on the Day of Judgment, and also Allah will provide you with more and more than those $20 in different forms. Okay, for example, if you are planning to buy, for example, a dress with $20, Allah will make you to find, or with $30, Allah will make you to find an excellent dress with $5. Or someone will come and give you a gift, a dress and a gift. Okay? And you say, Subhanallah, how come I lost $20 and Allah sent for me a dress with $50? Okay? And it is not only to send for you a replacement. When Allah will make it for you, you know that we always say in Arabic that the money is not up to how much. The money is up to how you can get benefit of the money. Allah can make for you $10 very beneficial. And Allah can give you $100 and you go to the doctor and they are not enough. Okay, and you will need to spend more on the medicine. Okay, and you tell to yourself, what is going on? I am not getting benefit of my money. Okay, why? Because you are not attending the class. Actually, sister, when you come to the house of Allah and you pray in the house of Allah and you have the meeting with the sisters and you feel that we love each other only for the sake of Allah, this is enough psychological support, which is priceless. Actually, you know, in our life now, most of the people are very materialistic. But actually, this is why they are unhappy, mostly, because they are mostly materialistic. Happiness is not related to the materialistic issues. Happiness is something in the heart which only Allah will give it to you. Okay, the third lesson which we learn from the Hijra of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is placing your trust in Allah. When the Meccan people approached the cave, Abu Bakr became panic, and he was so worried about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be killed by them. But the Prophet reassured him, saying, "Don't be sad, Allah is with us." That is to say, what is the meaning, sister, that Allah is with us? This means that the most powerful, the controller, the all-knower, the planner is with us, so he will save us. Okay? How Allah made it to be made it for them that they will be saved? Allah made the spider web to be complete and the dove nest on the entrance of the cave to mislead the Meccan people and to save the Prophet and to prove that he is controlling everything. So this is actually, sister, the message for every one of us. So long you are trying your best. Okay, and at that point also I must clarify to you that we are not equal, okay, regarding our trial to become close to Allah. Okay, there are people whom they can pray, at night. Others they can't pray at night. There are people whom they can recite the Quran 1 or 2 hours per day. There are others whom they can't. There are people whom they can, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, give a lot of charity. There are others whom they can't. So we are different. But the rule is that try to obey Allah as you can, up to your limitations. Okay? Don't compare yourself with the others. Maybe you can do something which I can do. Okay? So to become close to Allah, always focus on your limitations. Try your best according to your limitations. Don't be sad that there is someone, for example, for me, I can't come to Friday prayer. Okay, there are other sisters whom they can come to Friday prayer. Okay, no problem. Okay, for me, I can pray at home, maybe more at night. Okay, so every one of us is having his own abilities and limitations. So to become close to Allah, try up to your abilities and limitations and don't compare yourself with any other one. So long you are trying your best, May Allah reward you all the good. Okay, and only Allah knows your best. Okay, so if someone will come and tell you, hey sister, why you are not coming to Friday prayer? Sister, why you are not always in the masjid? Sister, why? This is always the sisters. They always put their nose in the life of the other sisters. Okay, you cannot tell her, sister, this is none of your business. Okay, because...
Sometimes you feel like...
You can tell her, this is none of your business. Okay, you just tell her, sister, everyone has his own circumstances, her own limitations, her own abilities. Okay, sometimes, you know, maybe I have some circumstances at home. I can't mention it to everyone. Okay, so the rule is that so long you are trying your best to obey Allah the Almighty and Allah knows that from you, inshallah, you will be rewarded the best. So all the time, place your trust in Allah. Allah will never leave you alone. Allah will support you all the time with means which you can't imagine and you don't expect. Okay? Allah will send for you someone, okay, to help you and to support you from a way you never expect. Okay? And at that moment you will remember that this is Allah who can do everything in the time when we don't expect someone to help us. This is the lesson which you learn from the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah sent for him the spider and the dove to help him and to save him from the people of Mecca so that they will not kill him. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But also, sisters, we must also remember that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, they took all the means to hide from the disbelievers. And they prepared a strategic path from which to they migrated. What is the meaning of this? They tried all the means. You must put your trust in Allah plus trying all the means. Okay, because there are some Muslims whom they are under the impression that if I put my trust in Allah, I will not try the means. Okay, this is wrong. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hided in the cave for 3 days. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hired a skillful guide to guide them through the desert. And also he had one person for reporting events. Someone was coming to him and to Abu Bakr every night to tell him what the disbelievers are planning for him. They have someone also to arrange the provisions. Okay? So, what is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that we must take the necessary precautions, okay, for any event in our life. And then we must put our trust in Allah the Almighty. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us that if we wish to succeed in our affairs, it is essential to plan ahead and perform all the necessary conditions, keeping in mind our full trust in Allah. The obligation, the next lesson to learn from the hijrah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the obligations of support and unity between Muslims. Okay? It was the good hearts of the Muslims of Yathrib which invited those of Mecca to come to live with them. Okay? To escape the torture and the bad treatment and to come to share with them all their wealth for the sake of Allah. Okay? So we must know, sister, that we must support each other. We must take care of each other. We must have the unity together. And actually, I always mention now to the Arabic-speaking sisters that around 90% of the Muslims now are non-Arabic-speaking. Okay, so we cannot isolate ourselves as Arabic speaking, okay, while we are only 10% and 90%, this means that most of the Muslims are not Arabic speaking, okay, so we Muslims need the unity, okay, because we have different languages, we are from different backgrounds, from different cultures, so Islam must unite us. When you see a Muslima, okay, don't ask her from what country, okay, what is your language?
I'm really bad about that.
You know, in my class, I am very tough with the Arabic sister, very tough. I am known in Houston. Okay, if anyone will come in I will tell her, don't ask about the country, don't ask about, you know, the class, don't ask where the sisters are living, okay, just come and sit where the line ends, okay, and speak with the sister close to you. Okay, don't try to search for someone from your country, okay, and go and hide beside her. This is not allowed. Okay, and this is the only way, you know, to change the mentality. Because, you know, sisters are coming to the class so that, you know, I am Egyptian. There is any Egyptian, she can be my friend, okay, and then we will talk about Egypt. Then we will talk about Egypt. Okay, you are Muslim. You are coming for the sake of the Quran in the masjid. This is not the Egyptian club. This is the house of Allah. Okay, otherwise, you know, we will never be united. And we will never be like those Muslims of Mecca, whom of Yathrib, whom they invited, the Muslims of Mecca, while they don't know them at all, to share with them everything. You know, how come I will share with someone whom I don't know about him anything, except when I feel that we are one. Okay, we are united. I need him and he needs me. Okay, we are two parts of one building and we must support each other. This is the most important basic unit in Islam, the unity in Islam. And we learn this actually from those early Muslims and from the Hijrah. And it will be, inshallah, more clear, inshallah, next week. But let us recite now from Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 8 and 9, to know about this unity between the Muslims of Mecca and the Muslims of Yathrib. Facts regarding the unity between the Muslims will be taught by the scholars. You know, better than teaching all the time about, you know, how to wash your hands, how to be careful about 1 millimeter in your hand, 1 millimeter in your leg, how to cover your, you know, your forehead exactly, so that no one hair is out. Okay, better than repeating in these topics, which no one is getting any benefit of it, and you can read it in the books of fiqh. Okay, it is more important to teach the Muslims about the unity. This is very important for the Muslims, you know, especially in Friday khutbah. Okay, this is the most important topic, the unity between the Muslims. But who is listening? You know, the scholars will choose whatever they like, Surah Al-Hashr. We will recite, sister, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 8 and 9, inshallah. And 10 also. Surah Al-Hashr, page 803, verse 8, 9 and 10. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة من ما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. For the poor immigrants who were expelled from their homes and their properties, seeking bounty from Allah and His approval, and supporting Allah and His messengers, those are the truthful, and those who were settled in the home and the faith before them. They love those who immigrated to them and find not any want in their breast of what they were given, but preference over themselves, even though they are in provision. And whoever is protected from the stinginess of his soul, it is those who will be the successful. And those who come after them, saying, Our Lord, forgive us and our brothers, and precede us, in faith and put not in your hearts resentment toward those who have believed. Our Lord, indeed you are kind and merciful.
So actually, sister, in verse number 8, Allah is clarifying the situation of the poor immigrant who were expelled from their homes and their properties. Why? For the sake of Allah, approving their support, for the sake of Allah, Allah supported them, and for the sake of Allah, they were supporting Allah and His messengers. And Allah is telling about them, those are the truthful. Okay, truthful in their faith, okay, in Allah. How they proved that they were the truthful? Because they left everything for the sake of Allah and for the sake of supporting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, and also Allah is mentioning about the people of Yathrib, okay, whom they actually, they loved those who immigrated to them and find not any want in their hearts of what they were given. But they give preference to them over themselves. You know, sister, this is the nature of the people of Yathrib, okay, whom they accepted the Islam very easily. The nature of their hearts was clear when they accepted Islam very easily. These are the good hearts. And as they accepted the Islam easily, okay, they were very keen to support the poor immigrants and even to give them preference over themselves. Okay, but Allah also in verse number 10 is mentioning about us. We are the Muslims who are coming after them, and we must all the time ask Allah for forgiveness, okay, for our brothers who preceded us in faith, and whom they tolerated a lot for the sake of Islam to reach us. So actually, sisters, the real goal of the Hijrah was not only to save the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, but to save the message of Islam, and also to build the new Muslim community in Al-Madinah, which is based on the rules and commands of Allah, as we will learn, inshallah, next week. The last lesson related to the Hijrah is the patience, and that patience is the only way of success. If you want to succeed in any goal, you must be patient. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early Muslims, they were patient regarding tolerating all forms of hardships for the sake of their belief for more than 12 years. Okay, through their patience, they proved their strong faith. So they deserved Allah's support and help, which came in the form of the Muslims of Yathrib and the immigration to Yathrib. So we must learn this important fact, sister, that to have any goal in your life to be a successful goal, you must be ready with the patience. Okay, from the beginning, you must say to yourself, I have my patience with me. I will be very patient, I will tolerate, I am ready to sacrifice, okay? I believe in my goal, I will be after my goal, and inshallah I can have it done by the help of Allah. So Hijrah is a lesson of sacrifice, a lesson of patience, a lesson of unity, and a lesson of strong faith and trust in Allah. And inshallah next week we will continue to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rahim, all. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.